Again, want to thank everyone for your presence here on this afternoon, those that are able to assemble us with the saints. Want to say again, good afternoon to everyone, and it's good to see a healthy number. Hopefully, those that are able will be able to come and assemble with the saints. Amen?
Amen.
And then we find that I like to start always, Acts 2:42 and 47, where Luke penned the five acts of worship after Christ was resurrected when they assembled to worship God. So we want to be mindful of the fact that we are assembled here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
And then the word of God is designed after we see those things that Paul talked, Luke penned about in Acts 2:42, the apostles' doctrine, which is teaching simply from the word of God. Allowing us to fellowship or to give back to God as God has blessed us with. We commune with the Lord each Lord's Day. We take that bread and that cup represents the Lord's body and blood that was shared on that cross. We also pray to God that God will hear our prayers. And then we sing without the accompaniment of instruments. We sing with the fruit of our lips. God has given us to praise him, Hebrews 13:15, that we sing to God and let God know we're thankful for our situation and circumstance. Amen?
Amen.
And so on this afternoon, this morning, we spoke from the subject, let nothing be done through strife and vain glory. So we looked at that day so that we, as we look at the word of God, Paul shared with that congregation in Philippi, as I said this morning, we don't know whether that was a present problem or there could have been a potential problem coming. But again, he shared with them how to formulate unity, harmony, and peace in the congregation. So what we want to do on this afternoon for a few brief moments, we looked this morning at strife and vainglory in theory. And so on this afternoon, turn your Bibles back to thank our brother for reading with us. Thank all the brothers that have served thus far on this afternoon, but let us go back to Genesis chapter 13, and again, we talked about strife in theory on this morning, but on this afternoon, I like to always try to connect my morning message with my afternoon message, so it kind of keeps us in a train of thought as it relates to the Word of God. So we want to speak from the subject on this afternoon that was found in verse number 8, where Abraham said to Lot, he said, let there be no strife, I pray thee. Let there be no strife, I pray thee. So we want to look at this situation where strife occurred. We know, we should know that strife has to do with when there's contention, when there's division. So we want to look at the word of God this afternoon that we can edify ourselves as we look through the text and see how God allowed the penman Moses to pen how they dealt with when they had strife amongst them and the camp, and how God shows us through the word of God how strife can develop and how strife can be handled that it be pleasing in the eyesight of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so we find in verse number 1, we'll pick up there. The Bible says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. As we go on our journeys in life, I want to say this. Make time to thank God for all that he is doing and for what he has done in our lives. We must be a people that worship God on every scheduled occasion. And so we find here in verse number 4 that Abram found a place of an altar where he could worship God. And I want to say, encourage those of us be able to assemble, that I want to assemble to worship God on every occasion God gives me. I want to be assembled. Again, as we find in the text, our purpose for worshiping God is to thank God for what he has done in our lives, what he may be doing in our lives, and as we look at the future, what God can do in our lives. Amen? And the Bible says, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So you find, as we read the text, not only was Abraham rich, but Lot also had flocks and herds and tents. And the Bible says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Sometimes challenges will arise simply because we dwell together. Yeah, there are times that the fact that we're together, there are going to be challenges that arise. When these matters come to our attention, they require that they must be addressed. Yeah, so I'm saying with us in life, in relationships that we have, husband and wife, family members, when challenges arise, we have to address them in love. Address them in love. So the Bible tells us in verse number 7, where we'll find the word strife. And the Bible said, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. So the word strife in this context means an angry disagreement between two or more people or groups. So you found that the group, the herdsmen that belonged to Abraham and the herdsmen that belonged to Lot, there was a disagreement or argument between them. And not only that, the Bible says from the text in verse 7, sometimes issues can be compounded by other people. So not only did you have the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot, but you still had the people of the Canaanites and the Perizzites. They was in the land. So that only makes the matters worse. And then so the Bible we find for us on tonight, or this afternoon, Abraham said unto Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee. That's my title. He said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. So to the Christian, when challenges, issues, and problems come up in our lives with others, I need to find, I'm applying this to our message this morning, in Philippians 2:1, I need to find consolation in Christ. We need to be able to find in the Word of God how we're going to deal with this issue. That's consolation in Christ. We are, when we have issues and challenges that are faced us in our marital situation, in our family situation, in relatives, even with friends, what we have to do is go to the Word of God in order to find solution. So we find, what words from the Lord that can aid or help us in this situation? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We have where Paul in his letter to the Romans, in the 12th chapter, he talked about how we deal. We talked this morning about the fact that when good things happen to people, we are to rejoice with them that rejoice. And then when something sad happened to people, verse 15, Romans 12, 15, we ought to weep with them that weep. But then when we get to verse number 17 of Romans chapter 12, watch what Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. The word recompense means to pay back. So what the Lord is saying as a Christian, as the Lord is saying that Romans chapter 12 and verse number 17, Romans 12 and verse number 17, the Lord says to those of us that are Christian, we are never to repay anybody evil for evil. Even when they do us wrong, we are not to pay. He said, recompense, repay no man evil for evil. If they've done you evil, you don't do them evil. He said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Then he says in Romans 12 and verse 18, he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What the Lord says to us in that text, if it be possible, if it's able to be done, if it depends on me, whether me and Tim get along, if it depends on me and Tim gonna get along. Yeah. If it depends, he says, as much, that does, see, sometimes we well, he won't do right. No. That's not what the text said. The text said, if it be possible, as much as it lies in you. Yeah. The Lord said, it's my responsibility to live peaceably with all men. Now, you can't control how adult will behave and how they're going to act. But what the Lord said, if it depends on me, whether me and Tim get along, we're going to get along. Yes. Now, Tim may not care for me. Kim may not want to speak to me. But I'm going to still say, you know, sometimes you have people that don't want to speak to you. Yeah, you have people that relationship, they don't want to speak to you. But I'm going to say good morning every morning. Yes. Good morning, Tim. And I'm going to allow him an opportunity not to say nothing. Why are you giving that opportunity? Because the Lord says, it's right there in the text. Notice what God said. Notice what God said. Stand with the text. He said, verse 19, that, so now it's my responsibility, as much as it depends on me, to live peacefully with all men. That's what, we'll go right to the text. That's what Abram said to Lot. But now the Lord said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, verse 19, the vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Why does the Lord say that? Because if somebody does something to my daughter, because God made me an emotional person, I may go past where I ought to go. I may do more to them than what I ought to do. Man. That's why when somebody hurt my daughter, my wife, the Lord said, let me take care of this. But sometimes we want to help the Lord. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So I am never right when I try to pay somebody back for what they did to me. I'm always wrong. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And now watch what he says. Therefore, now, this, verse 20 is when you can measure your Christianity and your growth. Amen. That's verse 20. Amen. How do I know if I'm growing as a Christian? Verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, do what? And if he thirst, give him the what? Yeah, see, sometimes we mad at people, we won't do nothing for them, won't do nothing to them. That makes sense? But as I grow in the Christian, even when you have done me wrong, even if you may have tried to quote-unquote squeal on me at my boss and try to get me fired, if I see I'm leaving work that day and I see your car broke down on the side of the road, I'm not going to mash on the gas pedal faster to get away from you. Now, I could. I could. But the Lord told me, no, but you are a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Even though that person tried strongly to get you fired off of your job, you still stop and render aid to that person. Yeah. So that's why you can measure whether you're growing or not by when the Lord tells you something, were you willing to do it or not? So he said, now watch what he says, verse 20. He said, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on, it burns them up. You know, sometimes when people want to be mad and want to be mean and hateful to you, and you do nice things to them, it eat them up. That's the way we ought to live as a Christian. Even those individuals that may do me wrong, the Lord say, for in so, if he hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Notice what he told us. Here's the growth right here. Be not overcome of evil, but we overcome evil with what? That's how we do it. That's how we do it. So I can measure myself. When someone has done me evil and I go back and do good to them, that shows me that I have grown in this capacity. Because there was a time you did something to me, your tires, your car going to be on blocks when you get outside. Because I'm going to cut them up. I've seen that happen before. Yeah, slice the tire and put you on blocks. Now, I don't want nobody to have to come up here and have to repent when you've done that. Remember, that should have been done when you got baptized. You did that when you were young. Yeah, the Lord washed away all of your sins. Yeah, we all have sinned, amen? And come short of glory to God. But again, we can, as we look at the Word of God, let us see, as we go back to back to Genesis 13, and we finish up this text on this afternoon, we see how Lot resolved the issue. In verse 8, he told Lot, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I don't want to be no contention between me and you.
Right.
Nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. Why? Because we're brethren. Yeah. All of us in this body here at Highland Heights, we're all brethren. We're Christian. Yeah. There ought not be no strife between anyone. Yeah. Watch what he told him. Verse 9. He says, not the whole land before thee. He said, because we can't dwell together, he said, separate that stuff because we have too much stuff. My stuff getting your stuff getting my stuff. He said, what we got to do, let's separate ourselves. He said, I pray thee for me. He said, now, if thou would take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. So what Abraham showed Lot was the fact that no matter what decision you make, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Abraham looked, now watch this here now. Abraham looked not on his own things, but on the things of Lot. That's Philippians 2 and 4. The Bible says, let every man look not on your own thing, but look on the things of others. That's Philippians 2 and 4. I'm connecting this morning message with this afternoon. He asked Lot to choose first. That's loneliness of mind when we put others before ourselves. Yeah, so what I'm showing you is that, again, the message this morning was in theory, but now we have that shown in practice where Abraham did those things. He had lowness of mind. He put Lot before him. He let him choose first what he wanted to do. God expects his children to work toward peace.
Yes,
that's the message this afternoon. When we have differences, we're going to have differences because we're human. We're going to have differences. I grew up with my two brothers, three of us. You have people grow up in the same house, and you'll find that, let me say this while I'm here. You can find people that can grow up in the same house under the same parents, and they as different as night and day.
Yeah.
Why is that the case, Brother Stiles? Because everybody have their own personality.
Amen.
Yeah. Everybody have a personality. And so you got to understand when you're dealing. That's why the Lord said, train up a child in the way he should go. I've talked this before, but what the Lord was saying in Proverbs 22, what God was saying, the word train means, the word by definition in the Hebrew means to put in the mouth. So what the Lord was teaching us through Proverbs, Solomon's, that when a child is growing up, you are to put the bit and put the food in their mouth. Yeah, but understand this here. Sometimes some children, if they don't like the way it tastes, they're going to spit it out. You have children grow up in the same household and they as different as night and day. Why? Because one would adhere to the teaching and the other one won't. Yeah, and sometimes you say, well, no, we didn't do a good job as a parent. No, you did. Sometimes it takes cooperation between the parent and the child. Yeah, you can feed the child, but the child got to take in what you're teaching them. And they got to apply. And so sometimes people look at, well, you know, go look at his children. And sometimes we can do the best job we can as parents, and our children still fail. Because when they get grown, they're going to make decisions of themselves. But if we know that we try to do the best thing, the best job we could do, we did what we could. Yeah. Yeah. Train up in the way they should go. And what Paul said, and when there's old. In other words, when you train up a person and they apply the thing, what the Lord is saying, when they get older, they won't leave what they've been taught. Yeah, that don't mean when they get, no, if they've been doing this all their life, guess what? They're not going to change. You got some of our seniors here, they've been faithful to the Lord. You can say, man, so-and-so, she would never leave the Lord. Not at her age. Because when she's old, she will not depart from that teaching. So again, back to our text that we said as I close, that again, we are to seek for peace. We are to take the word of God, apply it to our lives, and then as we find our example on this afternoon, that Abraham exemplified all those characteristics that Paul was telling to the Philippian church. He did it with Lot. Yeah. And then Lot made, again, sometimes even when they came, we found, you read that text, Lot ended up making selfish decisions. And it still cost him. But Abraham, and that Abraham had to go rescuing. Yeah. And I say this to all of us. Sometimes we'll have Christians that make mistakes. And we still got to go out there and rescue them. Yeah, we can't leave them out there. Well, if they would have listened, but they didn't. Sometimes you don't listen. Yeah. But when they, if they need help and they ask for help, you still go out there and help them. You go out there and get them. The child mess up, and as long as they want to come in and do right, you let them in. Amen. Because we Christians. Amen? Amen. So you're here this afternoon. I went a little past my time. I apologize for that. But I wanted to share with us from our Genesis account of how Paul, what he mentioned in Philippians letter, how we find a text that allows us to see that. So hopefully you've been blessed on this afternoon. Thank you for coming, that you've heard from the Word of God, how we ought to deal with strife when they come up between those that are love and even those that are enemies, what the Lord say we ought to do to them. There's someone today that's not a Christian. We had this morning. Thank for the Lord for my brothers for 40 years. We've been somewhat separated, but now they came back. I taught them on, Lord bless me last night. Taught them on last night. They came this morning. They obeyed the Lord, and now in the Lord's family. There's someone today, same thing we did this morning. One must hear the gospel, the three facts that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You must believe that gospel. You must repent of your sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God, then be water baptized for the remission of sin, and the Lord will add you to church. There's anyone today, we bid you to come. As we gather, stand, and Brother Michael, lead us in the verse over him. Thank you very much.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusting in his praise this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.